May the Lord be pleased to help us each here this morning as we gather together to worship Him. And let us begin by singing hymn number 509 to the tune Edgerton number 134. Come, come my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. He knows we have no strength at all. He knows our foes are strong. But though 10,000 foes engage, the weakest shan't go wrong. Then let us all unite and sing the praises of free grace. Those souls who long to see Him now shall surely see His face. Hymn number 509. Our Bible reading this morning you will find in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, and we'll read together chapter 6. The book of Judges and chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abi Ezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him, after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let us leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may he teach us each now to truly pray. Most holy, almighty and merciful Lord God, loving Heavenly Father, we gather before thee, the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And yet we say these things, but may we have a measure of understanding of who thou art. For it is only as we are given those eyes to see what thy word reveals unto us that we will be in that right frame of mind by the inner working of thy spirit. We'll be in that right mind to come and worship thee. Without that right understanding, we will come in our own strength. We will come without that due reverence and godly fear. Lord, help us this morning to bow before thee. Lord, we left to ourselves bow to many other false gods. We raise up many things above thee, and yet humble us this morning as we come into thy presence, and may it be that it is known and felt amongst all that gather this morning. And yet, Lord, how can we approach unto thee without that sweet access and knowledge of thy dear Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? May we see no man save Jesus only. May we have that true saving knowledge that we have that one mediator between thee and us, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, by thy Spirit, teach us more and more of the preciousness of Christ. By the sanctifying work of thy Spirit, lead us more and more to be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. By the powerful work of thy grace, lead us away, Lord, from that which our old man cleaves to. And may we be enabled to put on the whole armour of God and fight the good fight of faith. Lord, we have no strength but in thee. And may we indeed prove today that we can indeed do all things in one way through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, and thy people will gather together this morning with that desire to be strengthened in the inner man. And yes, Lord, we must come with that true thankfulness that we have strength outwardly to come and assemble ourselves together for worship this morning. We must come, and we do come, with that right thankfulness for thy many mercies that we are surrounded by. But Lord, thy people will have that desire to be strengthened within, that today, through our worship together, we may have that encouragement, we may have that renewing, may have that fresh visit from thee, to give us that strength to carry on in this wilderness journey below. And Lord, if there are those here this morning who feel it, their need of thee, and yet have not been able to lay hold upon thee savingly, we pray that the veil of unbelief may be removed today, that they may be able to say, it has been sweet to commune with thee, that they may know sins forgiven, that they may have access and fellowship with thee, that they may be able to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So Lord, however we have come in this morning, There have been those that are far off. Lord, draw them near. Give them that seeking, desiring heart this morning, so that none may go home as they came in. None may go home disappointed, Lord, from this occasion. And may we truly be able to say at the close of this day, it has been thine appointment. Lord, we pray for the children gathered here this morning. May they not despise Sunday and the day that they gather to worship here. Pray that those that preach here week by week may be able to be led a little in that simplistic way so that they can understand too. That while they are in the days of their youth, they may remember their Creator. That they may be able to pray those simple prayers while they are young. They may pray for that help. They may pray to be able to see that they are sinners. They may be able to pray for the forgiveness of sins. That they may be able to pray to trust in Jesus Christ. And that while they are young, they will be working within them all. Pray for the young people gathered here this morning too. Likewise, we pray for them that thou wilt go with them. Whether they be at university full time or whether they be in employment, Lord, and in education part time, we pray for them that thou wilt bless their studies, their work, give them diligence in all that they do, that thou wilt provide for them in all that they require, and above all, thou wilt keep them from the many temptations that are about us all. We pray for parents here this morning with young children, to help them and give them strength day by day, wisdom to bring them up in that right way, that diligence to seek first the kingdom of God and not to be overwhelmed, as is so frequently the case, by our busy lives. And yet, Lord, they are busy. We cannot deny it. But has there ever been a time where we have been so prone to waste the spare time we have? Give discipline, give diligence to spend that right time with Thee, whatever our age. Lord, to read Thy word, to seek Thy face, to attend the worship services when and where we can, and to truly support one another as is ordered in Thy word. We pray for the deacon here, to be with him and his loved one. Help them in all they do for this place of worship. And we pray that thou wilt renew his strength. We give thanks for that safe outcome from that operation. And we pray that it may be for his natural good too. But that he may prove that it has been good for him to have been afflicted. And that it may be a time that he looks back upon with thanksgiving and not regret. Pray for one who has gone to preach the word today. Help him where he labours. May he be able to be diligent in his study of thy word. May he be one that is truly growing in the knowledge of the Bible and is enabled more and more to lay it clearly and faithfully before those that he goes to preach to. That he may have that encouragement, those encouragements from time to time, and that strength to labour on. We pray for all those that preach the word today. Lord, thou knowest where and who they labour to. We pray for those dear brothers in the ministry that have gone through those 3 months of probation. We pray for them that they may, as they labour today, wherever they may be, that if it be thy will, they may feel that they are in their wrong place. That they may feel that they should be with the people they have been preaching to, if it be thy will. They may see that clearness of thy hand going before them. And the people that they have left at this time, they may likewise see that right way before them. So that more pastors may be raised up over flocks. And that thy goodness will be seen in our churches. Lord, we have much to mourn over. We pray that eyes will be opened to see where we are grieving thee. Lord, may we see where we are being those Pharisees. May we see, Lord, where we have so far erred. Lord, bring us back, we pray. Pour out thy rich blessings upon us once again. Grant that unity and that fellowship, we pray. May those differences be ironed out. May thy good hand be seen. And Lord, we are living in a day where we are brought very low. Lord, help us to be those right witnesses to those that we meet with daily and weekly. We may see our places of worship built up by those coming in which have never come in before, and by those coming back which have left. Lord, we pray for thy strengthening. We pray for thy goodness. We pray for the stirring of thy spirit. But Lord, we pray for hearts not to blame thee, as so many are so prone to do. Yes, Lord, we know that we need thy power to be known in our midst. But Lord, cause us to search our hearts as individuals as to how we have erred. Lord, may we truly more and more seek thy kingdom above all. Be willing to sacrifice much as individuals for thy kingdom. For our tenure upon this earth is but short. And Lord, while we have our days, while we have our strength, in whichever era and way and means we are called to serve thee in, and with the differing gifts thou hast granted to every one, may we seek to use them, Lord, in that right way. Oh Lord, how remarkable it is when we are enabled to look upon one another in that loving way, with those varying gifts that we have been given, and they knit together to serve the one true church. But Lord, may we not despise one another's gifts, and may we pray for our brothers and sisters in the church, that whatever they are enabled to do, that we may help one another, pray for one another, and be united in that way. Lord, we would pray for the one true church, as we have alluded to. Be with those in other nations that today gather in great fear and hardship and poverty. We live in a land of true plenty. We live in a land, Lord, where we have so much, and yet we see, Lord, that these decades of peace and comfort have led to hardness of heart. Lord, we do not look for thy chastening hand upon us, but Lord, we pray that thy hand will lead us on nearer to thee, and that submission in that way in which thy hand will lead us on. But Lord, may we know thy goodness going before us. Make the way plain, Lord, for our leaders, we pray. We pray that in this election year, we may see statesmen raised up over us who seek the good of our nation according to thy word. That politicians who seek their own good and that alone, Lord, may be laid low. That we may have faithful leaders in our nation, truly honouring thee. Lord, we come with that confession of our national sins and of our personal sins. For Lord, it is us as individuals that will stand before thee at that great day of judgment. May we stand washed and clothed in that robe of righteousness. Give each eyes to lay hold upon Christ, even today. Lord, we pray that we may not gather in vain. So be with us in all parts of our worship today, and as we turn to thy word now, we plead for the presence of thy Spirit. May we know, Lord, that we are not on our own today. May we see that thou art near. Lord, help us all, we beg. Give the people ears, give us words to speak, and Lord, may it enter into hearts prepared so that we go on our way today, rejoicing and encouraged in thy word. So forgive all that we have asked amiss, make up in giving where we do fail, for we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week Oh, that God willing, on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Robert Field is unable to preach, Mr. Brian Mercer has been engaged to preach here. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Gilbert Hyde has been engaged to preach during the evening service and has helped. There will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. We have not, due to various circumstances, given out the collections for March. They were in the general fund £545 and in the benevolent fund £20. We would thank the friends for their willing giving, and we would also acknowledge a donation of £600 on a quarterly basis from the Gospel Standard Society. Acknowledge the Lord's mercies in these provisions. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 622. Hymn 622 to the tune Hursley 353. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight in every sore and deep distress. I am thy God, shall be thy stay. Thy God shall all thy woes redress, and drive thy guilty fears away. This soul supporting truth contains all blessings that a God can give. In sorrows, sicknesses or pains, thy God will every need relieve. Hymn 622, tune Hursley 353.
one of us as we turn to his word now this morning. The word you'll find in the chapter that we have read together in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. Really the last part of verse 10, but I will read again from verse 7. The book of Judges chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. The book of Judges is a remarkable book in many ways. And in the children of Israel and their continual fluctuation between obedience and disobedience, their ease and their discomfort, we can see a picture and similarities between us as individuals. As we read this book, or as we maybe say we read the last few chapters in the book of Joshua, we have Joshua exhorting the people and saying to them, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And they say, therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua wrote those words in the book of the law. He took a great stone, set it up for them as a remembrance, as a witness to that which they had said. And yet, Joshua died. They conquered and overthrew various enemies. And as we come into this fifth and sixth chapter, we see a situation where we need to be aware. The closing verse in chapter 5. So let all thy enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. And as we read through this book, we see a time of conflict with the enemies round about them. We see the Lord appearing for them and delivering them. We see a time of rest for them. We see a time of backsliding again from the Lord. We see the Lord being faithful, raising up someone to turn them again to the Lord, and oftentimes oppressing them in the meantime. And we see His faithfulness to His people. And that is what I endeavour to set before you this morning. To look at the sin of the Israelites and compare it to our own sin. To look at the suffering of the Israelites and compare it to our own sufferings. And to look at the message from the prophet of the Lord to them. And to compare the message of the Lord to us today. So firstly, this morning, the sin. As I mentioned just now in that verse 5, at the last verse of chapter 5, we had that land had rest for 40 years, and then as we go into chapter 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What is that evil? Well, we have guidance as to what that evil is. We do not read specifically what it is, but we see a continual theme through the book of Judges, and we therefore can assume that this was the sin, the worshipping of other gods. Judges 2:19, it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them. Chapter 3, verse 5 and so on. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites and so on. Took their daughters, their wives to be their wives, gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. They were surrounded and were living by enemies that worshipped false gods. And so are we today. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshipped other gods. And you children may say, well, we don't worship other gods. We come to chapel and we worship the God that is in the Bible. They learn at school about other religions and they may worship gods of stone. They may worship idols and statues and things that they build. And you may think, well, we don't worship anything like that. But what is an idol and what does it mean to worship an idol? It means to worship anything other than God. And what does it mean to worship? To raise something above in our minds, above our God. To be so overcome with something else that isn't God. To spend all our time on it and to have no time for our God. This is a picture of what we can be like the children of Israel. We see of Gideon, don't we, as we read together in that chapter. And we all know the account of Gideon so well when the angel of the Lord visited him and spoke to him, and the account of the fleece wet and the fleece dry. But in the middle of that account, he had to go down and throw down the altar of Baal, which was a place where they worshipped a false god. That was what Gideon had to do, and worship the true God. I don't know, as you as individuals stand before me this morning, sit before me, I don't know what your false gods are, but I know you have them. And it will probably be the thing that's in your mind now that you're thinking, well, is it really a false god? Surely it's okay what I'm doing? Because you have a little prick of conscience that maybe it's not right. Maybe something has grown up within your life after these many years of rest that you have known in the land that is beginning to challenge your dedication and worship to the one true God. I have them, and I know you have them. And do you know what our biggest danger is? We can blame God for it and expect Him to remove it from our lives. While we continue to flirt with that evil, to approach that evil, and we blame our God for our shortcomings. It would have been the equivalent of Gideon going up to that Baal, that altar of Baal, and looking at it, thinking about it, rather than instantly tearing it down. And you say, well, we have no strength. Are you saying that we have strength in and of ourselves? No, I'm not. But what I am saying is what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church at Rome, when he wrote to the Romans. We read in chapter 8, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The power and the strength to overthrow the deeds of the body, the false idols, the matters in our lives that are wrong in the sight of God, the power to see them and the desire to overthrow them comes through the Spirit. But it is for us to mortify the deeds of the body. It is for us to put on the whole armour of God. It is for us to fight the good fight of faith. As we are given strength, but it is for us to push on in the journey, to press toward the mark. It is for us to do so, but we have that to strengthen us in the journey, in the race. But it is for us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And it is for us to run with patience the race that is set before us. And it is for God, through His Spirit, to enable us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to enable us to make progress, to enable us to truly serve Him. He gives us strength. It is for us to tear down the idols of Baal, the sin is idolatry. And I just read, didn't I, that verse in Hebrews, the sins that do so easily beset us. And I meant to speak slightly more on that as it comes to my mind. The sins which do so easily beset us. You know, there's a way that could have been interpreted as being skillfully surround us. And do you know what it is, dear friends? The devil skillfully surrounds you with temptations, weights and sins. Skillfully surrounds you. And where does our strength come from? It's not in looking at those sins. It's not in one sense, pouring on them too long. But it is as our eyes are drawn to Christ. Because there is temptation, and we will all endure temptation every day of our lives. But what did James say in his epistle? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Skillfully surrounded, aren't we? But we're not tempted of God. We are drawn away continually by our own lusts. So this sin that the children of Israel suffered with, and this sin that you and I suffer with, what are we to do? What advice is there? What help is there when we are surrounded, skillfully surrounded by temptation? Well, the first thing we are to do, or should do, is stay away from it. Be sober, dear friends. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeketh whom he may devour. You know, I was reading again recently the Pilgrim's Progress, and we have in there various images and pictures of the Christian in his journey. And that part came to me where those three men, Sloth, Presumption, I can't remember the other one, they were laying down in the grass, and there was that lion nearby waiting to pounce upon them. If we were and had a lion near us, a lion that prowled the streets near our home, we would open our front door with care. We would plan our day and our journey to avoid the danger. We would set up barriers to protect us. And yet, in our lives, dear friends, left to ourselves, we don't want to set up those barriers. Because actually, that idol worship, that sin which doth so easily beset us, we actually quite enjoy in our own sinful nature. Otherwise, we wouldn't find it a temptation. But, dear friends, we are to flee from danger. But it needs grace to do so. That's what Joseph had to prove, wasn't it? When he was in Potiphar's house, what did he do? When Potiphar's wife tried to grab hold of him, he fled. He didn't stay there and pray for help. He instantly fled. Why? Because the fear of the Lord was in his heart. May we be given grace to stay away from those idols. But dear friends, what else can we do? We can stay away at times, but as we said just now, sometimes there are those times where we are easily beset or skillfully surrounded, and we can't see a way of escape. But dear friends, there is always a way of escape. And how can you say, this morning so boldly that there is always a way of escape from sin? Because Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then what does he say? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Praise the Lord that He has always made a way of escape. And what is that way of escape? That way of escape is in looking to Christ. To see that sin, that idol that we are raising up in our hearts as challenging the crucified Saviour. To see that that temptation was that which put that crown of thorns upon His head as we fall under it. To see a suffering Saviour will be the only thing that will give us strength. That is it this morning. To stay away from it firstly, but when that temptation skillfully surrounds us, to look for that way of escape, to look to Christ. But there's another way, dear friends, that we can draw strength in this battle. And it is in this way. And it does us good to ponder this, that we are indeed, if we are the Lord's people, dead to sin. Yes, we are surrounded by it. Yes, we feel to fall under it. But if we are justified by faith, the guilt of sin is removed. The punishment has been paid. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory. And then what does Paul go on to say? And I wasn't aware that this verse followed on from those verses I've just read. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And as Paul so often does in his letters, he gives the strength to do so and then the command to carry it out. Consider ourselves, brethren and sisters in Christ, this morning. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Those old affections, they are crucified with Christ. And therefore, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. And finally, before we must move on, there is one other way, dear friends, that we can flee from those idols. And it is this. In seeking to serve the Lord. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Never a truer word has been spoken that the devil plays into idle hands. So yield ye your members. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Seek to serve Him in whichever capacity we are called to do so. You may say, well, how can I do it? You know, the littlest thing, some are called to serve the Lord in one way, some in another. It may be just cleaning the chapel. It may be opening it Sunday after Sunday. It may be any manner of things that we are called to serve Him in. But may we, and may the Lord help us to do so, as He enables us and leads us. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. Well, we dwelt for a while this morning on the sin of the people. Dear friends, may we now consider for a while the suffering of the children of Israel and the suffering that we will endure when we fall under those idols. We see from the second part of the first verse, don't we? The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That word Midian really means strife. And that's a lesson for us in itself, isn't it? When we are surrounded by idols and sin, what does it cause us? Strife. cause us trouble. And when we disobey, when we, through our evil, fall into the hand of Midian, we find, don't we, that once that door of evil is opened, there can be that invasion. And that's what the Midianites did, wasn't it? They invaded. If we open that door to sin, how quickly we find the trickle becomes a flood. They invaded the land. Have you had to prove that? You had to prove that? One little sin sneaks in when we're not on our guard. And before we know it, the whole army is invaded. And what are we doing? We are imprisoned. We are, as it were, almost held captive, as the children of Israel were. What do we read they did in verse 2? The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. It made them run. And that's the effect that sin has in the lives of his people. It causes them to run. It causes them to be weak. And what is it, dear soul, that you need? If you are like the children of Israel here and have had to flee to the mountains, the dens, the caves and the strongholds, they were looking for protection in the land round about them. But what did they need to do? They needed to turn again to the Lord. That's what they needed. They needed to repent of their sins. And that's what you need to do too this morning as he gives grace. Not to look to the world and to try and sneak into a mountain and a cave. But to pray to the Lord that, yes, the Canaanite, the Midianite is still in the land, but they will give you strength to overthrow it. We need Christ, don't we? That's what the soul needs. We only then can we not be cowering in the back of a cave. Only then, as we have him, we can be free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We need to be freed from that captivity, freed from those Midianites. But as they were overcome by the Midianites, and as you are overcome by your besetting sins, what does it lead us to? Impoverishment, doesn't it? Famine. Weakness. We have the picture of sin here in our lives and the effects of it, don't we? With those Midianites, they came up. They came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. And when we are living in the fear of the Lord, there will be those shoots that come up. There will be that fruit that is seen in our soul. Sometimes we may doubt it and not be able to see it. But when sin comes in, like those grasshoppers or locusts, as it could be interpreted, those clouds of locusts came down upon the land, pictured by the Midianites. So it is with sin. It comes down through us, and any shoots of life and vitality and fruit that was there is stripped away. And dear friends, how often in the spiritual experience of the believer, they only realise that there was fruit when it's been stripped away from them. When the locusts, like the Midianites, have come in and destroyed any fruit that they had, they've stripped the land. Impoverished again, then we feel weak, then we feel our need, and then, dear friends, what does it do? If we are a child of the Lord, we have verse 6. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And maybe that's where you have been these past few weeks, months or years. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So the Lord will never forsake his people continually and completely. He cannot leave them to their foes. He may give them rest so they forsake him for a while, but the enemy will come in again, and at the appointed time the sinner will repent and cry unto the Lord. And the Lord will speak a message, which is what we have from verse 7 onwards. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent a prophet. And the Lord still speaks to his people today, not through prophets, but through the preaching of the word. And what was the word to them? And what is the word to us today? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Did not and has not he led you out from Egypt? Led you out from your first captivity and set your eyes upon the promised land? Has he not been with you through the wilderness journey? And yes, there have been those times where you have greatly disobeyed, but he sent fresh manna. You felt yourself to be thirsty, and he's given you fresh water. Can you not look back and see that he has delivered you? And because you are one of his covenant people, if you turn again to him, he will deliver you again. If you are led to truly repent and seek forgiveness, he will have mercy. He's brought you out. Look back, dear soul. Has he not kept you so far in your life? And if you turn to him again, he will bless you again. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Well, dear soul, if you have felt the enemy this morning, look again to him. Confess and fall before him. May you be given grace to throw out those idols and serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to put him first again. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. It's a message of deliverance, and it's continually a message of deliverance to the people of God. I will deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. Everything that we have, dear soul, this morning is from the Lord. Yes, the providential mercies, but most importantly, the spiritual mercies. I gave you their land. He's given us a little bit of himself. He's given us Christ in measure and the blessings that flow from it. We've known that sweetness that flows from Christ's sacrifice. But how does that message carry on? I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And into verse 10, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. You know, is that the message you need this morning? I am the Lord your God. Yes, you may feel the Midianites are about you, but I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Fear not the enemies that are about you. If you turn to him, if you fall before him, if you submit to his will for your life, if you do not kick against the pricks and say, Lord, I thought this was the way for me, and the way is not clear for me. Dear friends, the Lord will lead his people as he leads them. He led the children of Israel in a mysterious way, and he may have led you in a mysterious way, and it is for us to fall before him and to say, Lord, you are the God. I am one of thine, I humbly trust. Do with me as thou seemest fit. Let me obey your voice. And that's what the Lord demands of his people. And, you know, I had this last part of this 10th verse upon my mind, but it is inseparable from the surrounding narrative. But it's a solemn warning for us all. If we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. I don't know in which way you must be led to obey his voice. Has he spoken to you? Has he worked in your life? And are you being disobedient to what he has said? Well, we cannot expect the blessings of the Lord to rest upon us if we are walking in a disobedient pathway. If we are demanding things from him which we should not demand. And you know, I cannot go into this because time will not permit. But you know, we can be. And Gideon was a godly man. Gideon was a good man that was raised up at that time. But you know, there was a way in measure in which he was testing the Lord with asking for a fleece wet and a fleece dry. He'd already had the angel of the Lord appear to him. He'd already had the angel of the Lord speak to him and give him clear instruction in the way that he should go. And you know, sometimes we can have that. The Lord will speak clearly to us through his word, through the preaching of it, and yet we'll say, oh Lord, I need the fleece wet and the fleece dry. And I need this, and I need that, and I need the other. Sometimes the Lord in his mercy will give the fleece wet and the fleece dry, and sometimes he won't, because you have not obeyed my voice. It was the same with Moses. And we do not want to get too distracted from our thoughts, but it's the same with Moses when the Lord called him to obey him. He made that excuse. He made another excuse. He made another excuse. Until the Lord's wrath, the anger of the Lord, was kindled against Moses. You know, and it's a solemn thing to tempt the Lord in that way. And yes, the Lord will be merciful at times and give clear direction for us. But, dear friends, is something pressing upon you this morning? Because you know, you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Well, if you're not obeying the voice of the Lord, do not be surprised when another wave of the Midianites will come in. Do not be surprised when you'll be famished and impoverished again. May the Lord implant that fear within you, that we may be obedient, that we may know and be given grace to overthrow the idols that we have within us, to be God-fearing people seeking to put him first. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Amen.
Conclude by singing together part of hymn 308 and the second section of that hymn, the second part of that hymn. The tune will be Churchill number 19. Hymn 308 part 2, singing the first 6 verses. together with the 9th verse. If this be, Lord, thy way, then who can hope to gain the prize such numbers never seek, such numbers seek in vain? 'Tis thy almighty grace that can suffice alone. Thou givest us strength to run the race, and then bestowest the crown. Cheer up, ye travelling souls, on Jesus' aid rely. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. The second part of hymn 308, singing the first 6 verses and then the 9th verse. June Churchill, number 19.
dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word and for that mercy displayed therein. Lord, how frequently we feel to be like those children of Israel, hot and cold and one way and then the other way. Lord, let thy repenting people bow before thee and prove that thou art faithful and just and plenteous in mercy still. May we find peace, Lord, in Christ Jesus. And may we flee from the many idols that are about us. May we come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So as we leave thy house now, may thy word not leave us. And do we pray, forgive all that has been wrong in our worship this morning. Come up again this afternoon as we gather around thy table too. Be with us there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us each. Amen.